I'd like to read to you, first of all, in the book of James, chapter 1. And we'll be reading at verse 5. You know, the message of the gospel isn't to pass on to people the minimum entrance requirements into heaven. It initiates a whole new life. And it's a redemption, not just of a brief moment, but it's a redemption of your life and mine, bought and paid for by blood. We generally are convinced of things that we've experienced, and sometimes we're convinced by what we see in other people. But my concern here, as we soon will leave this place, is that we go away a step higher than what we came. Don't be prepared or allow yourself to go away the same way you came. We do have choices in this matter. And so we have to recognize a step higher in our responsibility. And we need to go a step higher in our worship. And we need to go a step higher in our appreciation of the Lord Jesus. And our step higher, perhaps even in our commitment to scriptural simplicity within an assembly. I'm going to speak briefly about a step higher in your moral maturity. Because, you know, our lives affect other people. We don't panic over what's happening in the world. We're not that it doesn't affect us, but we can, as believers, live way above all that. We're not stuck with the tensions that are around us. But a Christian is able to see our life as a whole, and that your work and your calling is part of God's plan for your life. And so you need to look at your business, and all these other things our brother is bringing forth to us here today is as a way that we can please God. And we leave here with a commitment to go higher and farther in our pleasing of the Lord. So how do we do it? Well, I'm going to speak to you about wisdom and how to get it. Perhaps maybe make a brief reference to light and how to use it. Certainly we have love and how to walk in it, and conscience and how to benefit from it. But I am going to read with you right here. If any man of you, or if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Spiritual maturity takes time, and it takes patience, and it takes effort, and it takes commitment on your part. And if it comes as a result of a trial, we are instructed to let the trial that God sends run its course, not try to avoid it or shortcut it. But if you don't know the reason for a trial you might be in, you have the right to ask God for wisdom. And that wisdom will help you go through that trial and perhaps never really know the whole answer. But you'll learn to find wisdom and how to use it. And so with that in mind, I'd like to read a few verses in the book of Proverbs, which is one of those books that have a lot to do with wisdom. I'm going to read to you some of the things that the book of Proverbs says is how to find wisdom. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. So how can a person find the wisdom that they need to go a step higher in their moral maturity? commit yourself to righteousness. And righteousness is absolutely necessary for a person to gain that wisdom. Right living and right attitudes are essential to receive needed wisdom. Step high and commit yourself not to shortcut in any way the labor of your life. There is ample wisdom from God given to those who will walk uprightly. It's never a wise thing for a person to claim their successes on how slick they can do business, or how much they made on a job of work, because we step higher than that and do what we do in every way as to the Lord and not to men. And that's a step to moral maturity. So we learn wisdom by being righteous. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. It's there. So, will you commit yourself to that before you walk through that door? To go out in every way to be righteous, honorable, upright, honest, as we've been hearing in business. Read with me another one over in chapter 8. Proverbs 8. I love, and verse 17, Proverbs 8 and verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. And he's making a reference here to wisdom. Wisdom is actually the spokesperson here. And he's saying, those that seek me early shall find me. So in order for you to have wisdom to go higher and farther in your Christian life, you've got to be a righteous person. Step higher into righteousness. And here, in diligence, those that seek me early shall find me. And so diligence is necessary to find wisdom. You know, wisdom is sought for and found when you make a search for the right answers. Sometimes people only know the question, and they don't seem to find the time or the effort or make the effort to get a conclusion to a matter, and so things just stay. Sometimes it's even when it's between brothers and sisters. They say, well, maybe it'll just dry up and blow away. But diligence is necessary in a person's life, so I have to apply myself to finding wisdom. That would mean, not only do I ask for it, but I look for it. And I apply myself to the scripture. Now, I'm just passing this on. We talked about it with some of the young ladies who are not here now, but I believe that probably one of the greatest lacks of Christians in relation to moral maturity is they don't have a significant devotional life. They touch and go a verse of scripture or a chapter or a choice gleanings calendar reference and leave it at that. But you need to apply yourself to an active devotional life that's between you and God, where you listen to Him and then He listens to you. Everybody has their own style. I have mine. That I do. Actually, I guess I don't know whether I should mention. It's all right. I write a prayer every day about two particular things that I want to say to God so that I'll know tomorrow morning what I prayed for yesterday morning or any time past. I do that. Doesn't mean that I'm going to stand up and read them in public. Part of that is for me so that when I come back and speak with my Father again, I'm able to know whether the answer has come or whether He's responded to my request or whether He's accepted my worship. But a devotional life is something that's significant, and it happens only when you give it your diligence. Apply yourself to it, and you'll find wisdom from God for the need of every day. Step higher and go further as you reach for wisdom. for every aspect of your life. Turn just over a page to chapter 9. Chapter 9 and verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. So this is what I mean by going a step higher and going farther. It's not enough for you to stay where you are. You need instruction. That's one of the reasons why conferences are held. It was done in the Bible times. They had yearly conferences, and people brought their children, and they walked across the country to Jerusalem to go to those conferences that God arranged so that people would go further when they left that place and higher than when they came. That's the whole idea behind it. And down through the years, God's people have met together in times of holy convocation. And one of the biggest things that happens in those times is we learn wisdom from those who are able to teach. And so in order to have wisdom, you've got to be teachable. You've got to be willing to listen to others. That's what he's saying. So in order to have wisdom, you've got to commit yourself to go higher and farther in righteous living. And in all aspects of righteous living, go higher and farther in your diligence to keep in touch with God. Go higher and farther in your willingness to listen to instruction. I scanned the paper. I told you yesterday, I scanned a paper that somebody gave, and this was a fairly young married woman with children, and was apparently having quite a time of, well, not conflict, but discontent with the place of fellowship that she was in, and trying to explain why we lose young people. And I thought to myself, isn't it interesting that she indicated that people know what they want to hear, not what they should hear, but what they want to hear. And they don't want to hear things that really challenge the person. They want to find things or hear things that will comfort us. But a teachable person knows that there's a lot more about a subject, any subject, than we already know. And that person will not resent the criticism when somebody says to them, you know, really, you need to go a little bit farther and a little bit higher. That person is not a know-it-all who is a wise person. He's one, and she's one, who has their ear open to hear what another person will pass on. One lady said to me when I... not long after I was saved, I came into an assembly my teen years, mid-teens, late teens, and they had a number of older sisters in our assembly, and they were, you know, wise ladies. And this one lady came to me one day. I had a real job taking, so I had a real job taking part first. You know, I had no problem in high school and any of that. I mean, piece of cake to stand in front of 1,000 kids and have something to say. And, you know, but when it came to taking part in a meeting, funny, I sweat, my legs got shaky, I got trembly in my voice. And so I'm sitting one time at a prayer meeting night, and I'm scanning hymn number 129. And this voice comes across, says, "Give the hymn out." And I didn't know what, I didn't know he was talking to me. He said, "Yes." This is an old man who had a big bushy mustache and no hair on the top, but lots of white around the side. And he says, "Stand up and give that hymn out that you're reading." And he read two verses to us so that it'll give us all plenty of time to find our place. Well, now, is that the leading of the Spirit? Well, actually, it is, because the leading of the Spirit is what's appropriate to the moment. And in spite of my funny feeling in the pit of my stomach and in the back of my legs, I did respond to what he said. I responded to his teaching. And then It wasn't too long after I got up my nerve to take a little part on a Sunday morning in a prayer. I gave the Lord my one sentence prayer. I thanked Thee, Father, for the Lord Jesus dying on the cross of Calvary for my sins and shedding His blood. And I sat down. And a lady came to me after and she said, "Now that was good." She said, "You lifted us." She said, "There's just a couple of things you left out. You forgot to address God." And she said, "You forgot to take the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus at the end." So she said, "When you pray," and she began to tell me that. She wasn't like a lady over in Arlington. Pardon me, Pete, it slipped out. But the brethren there had an assembly as big as this every Sunday. And almost the same five brethren took part all the time. And they always had these great big spaces in between prayers. And they thought, I don't know whether they felt it was holy. And, you know, I love Arlington, don't get me wrong. But this dear lady, she finally had enough. And she said out loud, "Oh, Lord, please help the brethren. You talk about shaping up a meeting. That's teachable." And they did. They took it. God has His ways of teaching people. And if somebody teaches you, step higher. You'll go further in your wisdom. And you'll go a step higher if you pay attention as a person with a teachable spirit. Not only do we get wisdom from righteousness and diligence and being teachable, but notice the next verse, verse 10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." So what do we have here when he speaks about the fear of the Lord? He's talking about reverence. You can get wisdom when you are a reverent person towards the Lord. Not a casual, approach to God. But there's respect. There needs to be dignity. There needs to be appropriate honor when a person is going to learn wisdom. And so it's reverence for God, first of all, and reverence for others who deserve that is a sign of a wise person who's gone higher and going further in their moral maturity as a believer. There's no reason to have respect for a person who makes a joke out of important things. Now, I do have a problem with humor. I must confess. I have a problem with humor. Can't help it. And I'm almost as bad as Mr. Richards when it comes to that. But he's a humorous man. He can't help it. But we have to commit ourselves to reverence. God deserves reverence in His place. And He deserves the reverence of a person when we're speaking of spiritual and holy things. And a believer on his knees will see a whole lot more than somebody else standing on their tiptoes. Because that's when we bow ourselves in reverence and we can rise higher on our knees as we approach God. Give God the reverence due to Him. And give His people the reverence due to them too. We have five grandchildren. I like to do the grandfather thing. Our youngest grandchild is 9, and our newest grandchild is 16. I'm not going to go into all that, but you can figure out how that happened. Well, when I met the newest grandchild, I said to her, "How do you want me to? What do you want me to call you, Gabriella, or Gabby, or Gab?" She was kind of scared of an old man with snow on a roof, and so she said, "Well, call me Gabby." I said, "All right. Now, what are you going to call me?" Now I said, "You got two choices. You can call me Mr. Goff, or you can call me Grandpa, but you can't call me Gaius. You're not old enough." I'm one of those who believes that we owe respect and reverence to those who are mature and who are older. And you children as well. I was taught, and I still believe it, when older person, particularly an older lady, comes into the room, we're told to stand up, we're told in the Bible to stand up and give place to them. Go step farther and go higher in reverence, and that'll lead you into moral maturity as a Christian. Notice just over a page, chapter 11. And chapter 11 here is I probably should read verse 1. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. So you can go a step higher and farther by humility. Isn't it interesting? In God's kingdom, the way up is down. The way to get is to give. There's a whole sermon there. I'm not going to give that. But you can think of a number of those words that's found in the Gospels that will explain to you the value of humility. And that's what we have here. Humility is a Christ-like attitude that puts a person in the frame of mind where you are able honestly to esteem another better than yourself. And that's what Philippians chapter 2 is about. We heard about that already. It's not just telling about Christ, it's telling about us. It's what God intends from us. It's that our mind be just like His was. And to be humble and to be down to earth reduces greatly the danger of stumbling and falling. You don't have very far to fall when you're humble. And that's one of the ways to wisdom. And so, wisdom and how to get it? Commit yourself to go higher and farther in righteousness. Before you leave this building and before you go to on the job or work tomorrow. How do you get wisdom? Commit yourself to diligence in committing into a devotional life with the Lord before you go out. Say, all right. And sometimes you have to say that to the Lord too. Father, I haven't been around as much as I should lately. And I haven't said what I meant to say lately. And I've been kind of shortcutting what I should have been involved with thee lately. Get back to diligence with God in your devotional life. And also commit yourself to being teachable. You don't need to have a complaining spirit. I just can't stand whiners. There's a lot of people just whine, you know, why didn't the brother do this? Or, you know, why can't they do that? The heat is too hot or it's too cold or it's too up or too down. You know, and people, but when a person is teachable, they'll have their ears open to what a person has to say and respect them for what they say. And there's also reverence. Commit yourself to reverence for God. You know, just as a sideline on that, don't come to a meeting like you are going to go to the beach right after. We owe respect to God and to His house. And His house is not this building. It's the people that come into this building. And it's the people here that are house of God. That's where you learn how to behave yourself in house of God, which is the pillar, ground of the truth. So give God reverence. Even when you're out around, and you think nobody else knows you. It's surprising where you'll run across people. My wife and I were down in Washington, D.C. one time. And we took a day and went around to see some of the sites. We came to Thomas Jefferson's, what's his statue there? And anyway, it's a memorial to Thomas Jefferson. And we're looking at, I was going to take my wife's picture in front, because Thomas Jefferson was quite a smart man. Not a Christian man, but a smart man. And I heard this voice say, stand back, Biza. She wants to take a film. She wants to take a snap. And I thought, oh, that sounds like Newfie talk to me. And sure enough, I looked, and here's a Newfoundland girl that I've known from since she was a kid, and her husband. And they were with two friends. And they actually were in from the place that we were going to in about 3 weeks from then. She almost fell over when I said, "Hello, Sharon, how are you?" And she couldn't believe it. In the middle of Washington, D.C.? You never know. So whenever you go anywhere, you understand that there's a certain reverence and respect that you owe God, even in the way you conduct yourself in those public places. And humility. That's an attitude that's like Christ. I'm going to give you another one over in chapter 15. Chapter 15 and verse 31. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. Oh, what's this? That's when somebody comes along and taps you on the shoulder. And they say, you know, and by the way, if you do it this way. I really love you in Christ's name. And I appreciate what you've done and what you are doing in this fellowship or whatever they're involved in. But there's a couple of things I have to say. And I've had this a lot of times. One man said to me one time, he said, "You could build a gospel hall and you can fix a car and you can run a boat. You can do everything but preach." And I thought, because I thought I'd gotten away with it. And he was bringing me down. He was giving me some counsel. And a person that hears the reproof of life will be a wise person. And I told him, "Thank you." And he knew I meant it. The teaching of the Bible in general, and in the gospel in particular, is certainly life-giving counsel. But when a person comes along and says, and they start to put their arm around your shoulder, I've had to do it, I did it a couple of times here since I've been here, not to correct anybody, just give some counsel. And you who are older, don't keep what you know to yourself. You owe it to these young men and young women and these children who profess to be saved when they're young. You owe it to them to give them counsel from day one in their Christian life. They have a right to expect that there are those come alongside of them to give them counsel that they might be wise. There's another in chapter 19. Our time has passed, so I'm not going to spend any more. But chapter 19, notice verse 20. Hear counsel. And receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. So, to be wise, you need to be righteous and diligent and teachable and have reverence and humility and heed counsel. But to be wise, you need to remember sound advice. Listen and pay heed to what people say to you in your early life, and you'll be a wise person in your later life. And you'll find that when you do that, you'll go higher and farther in your Christian life. I hope as we leave this conference, we will all make this commitment to God and to ourselves. I will go higher and farther in my Christian life than which I came.